fellowship, the food, and the games. And it is good to be able to hear Brother Dan preach. Always a joy to hear the older preachers. And remember a time when I used to say it was a joy to hear the middle-aged preachers, but I'm kind of starting to get in that range. I don't know if I can call myself the young guy anymore, but the time just keeps moving on. And speaking of time, do I have a time limit?
Not necessarily.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I preach at 10, so as long as you're done by 10 a.m., we're good.
Praise the Lord. Although I have learned that the mind can only take as much as the seat can endure. A wise man once told me, too, that nobody ever get mad at a short sermon. So we'll get right in. That's why I say a wise man told me. I never tested it out. Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. I appreciate you all, and I appreciate the love offering. Just the great hospitality it's always been shown to us. And certainly appreciate your pastor. And do miss my wife. Pray for her. She wasn't feeling well. She did not plan on not coming. In fact, yesterday she was planning on coming, but providentially hindered from being here. So we definitely miss her. Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse number 14, and we'll go in and we'll read on down to verse 17. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the privilege of prayer. We're thankful for your word and the truthfulness of it. Lord, we're thankful for all who are here this afternoon. We pray that you just bless our time together, that truly, even as we're gathered together here at this place, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for each home, each family, and each church that's represented here this afternoon. And we pray that you just bless in a great way. And our Father, we pray that you'd give us the words that we stand in need of today, that your word will find lodging place in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, we pray that if there's any here among us today that know thee not, we ask that today may be the day that they'd come to know you as their Savior. And our Father, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever I was invited to come, I wasn't quite sure what I would preach, and Lord kind of laid this on my heart, and we'll take our text from verses 14 and 15 there. Paul, writing this epistle to the folks there at Rome, and As a missionary, he was a lot of things. If you study the life of Paul, you'll read of him as being a tent maker, a preacher, an apostle, he starts out the epistle talking about how that he was servant of Jesus Christ. But here in our text, He says that he was debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And I kind of want to take off from that thought that even as Paul was debtor, so we are debtors as well. Now, he was using this word debtor, not that he owed those folks money or anything like that, but that the Lord had called him to a special work, and that he had this ministry, and he was ministering to them. We find the idea presented in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you'll hold your place there in Romans and go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Debtor, being a debtor to someone. And the way he presented it was that he was debtor to the Greeks as well as the barbarians. You and I, we usually don't use those words too often. Sometimes when my boys are eating at the dinner table, we might say something like, "Are you a barbarian or what? Why are you eating that way?" But the reality is we don't typically use those words very often. But what he was talking about, those who were less civilized than the Greeks. The Greeks were very civilized as far as the world goes. And so he was debtor to both, to all people, to the educated as well as those who were not. He was debtor to the wise philosopher as well as to those who were ignorant backwoods barbarians, if you want to think of it that way. You and I, we have been commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Stepp brought this up a bit in his sermon, and I appreciated that the commission was given, and it was given there in Matthew chapter 28, and it was given, and it's been given to each one of the Lord's churches today. You and I are debtors to the world in the same way that Paul was. Now, you and I, we may not be called in the same way that Paul was, but we are members, each one of you who are members of one of the Lord's churches, whether it be this church here in Temperance or church in West Virginia or church in Mansfield, wherever it is that the Lord has placed you, we are debtors to the world in the same way. In Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We may not ever get the opportunity to travel the world. We may not ever get the opportunity to travel the Roman Empire like Paul did. But we have people all around us. The people in our communities, the folks here in Temperance, the folks in Mansfield, the folks in Wayne, the folks wherever that we may be. The commission, while the church is a local body, it's not universal. The church is never a universal body, at least not in the scriptures. It has a worldwide commission. And it goes out to the world, beginning at home. And so the commission includes the college graduate as well as the drug addict. It includes the cleaned up office professional as well as the smelly homeless person. The elite as well as the outcasts. And while we think about the people who are outside the four walls of this building, and we certainly should, let us not forget that we are also debtors to those in our own homes. We're debtors to that next generation. And I'm thankful for the young people that I saw here today. We've got to make sure that we are beginning at home, meaning in the community that we live in, but also literally at home. Our brother was talking about having Bible study with his wife. And I thank God for men who do that. You don't have to be a preacher to have Bible study at home. You don't even have to be a man to have Bible study at home. If your husband is not there or not able to or just won't, nothing wrong with a good godly mother or grandmother getting the Bible and saying, come over here, kids. Amen. Let's read from the Bible.
Right.
In fact, go yonder into Timothy and read 1 and 2 Timothy, and you'll find out the heritage that he had came from his mother and his grandmother. But certainly the responsibility is on the man's, the husband's, the father's in this, in all things. You know, we find patterns throughout the scriptures, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It is something to be said that there in the Garden of Eden, when Satan came on the scene, that old serpent, he showed up first to speak with Eve. And then after everything was said and done, and Adam and Eve had partaken of that fruit, they'd sinned against God. Guess who God came looking for?
Right.
Adam, where art thou? The responsibility came upon Adam. Now Adam might have said, Adam might have thought and said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. But Adam had to answer for the sin of his household.
Amen.
The responsibility lies on the men, on the husbands, on the fathers. And so we need to step it up and consider that we are debtors to this world. We're debtors to those on the outside, but we also cannot neglect our own families, our own children, our own grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Tomorrow when I get up into the pulpit, Lord willing, I'll be preaching on the subject of the Great Commission. And let's go over there. I've mentioned it a couple times. Brother Stepp mentioned it, but Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 there. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There are some things, and I'm not going to preach tomorrow's message today, so y'all don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to try to combine two messages here this afternoon. But whenever we look at the commission that was given, it was given to the Lord's church. And it's a threefold, there's three parts to this. Some folks get all excited about the preaching of the gospel, and that is part of it. But if all you do is preach the gospel and ignore the rest of it, if that's all the church does, they've only got one third of the commission taken care of. And you know, there's some there's some good stuff right here in these last few verses here in the book of Matthew that you can really glean out of this. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ, our head and founder, is here meeting with his church. And what's he got? He's just got 11. He's just got 11. And some of them doubted. Certainly not what the world would call successful. But guess what? The power, what he was counting on, the authority, that all wasn't up to those 11. And in our day and age, it's easy to get discouraged, and it's easy to give in to peer pressures. Kids aren't the only ones that have peer pressure. Adults get it too. Pastors get it too. And we got to be careful. Let's get into God's Word and have some God pressure. And understand that when he met with these, it was just a small group. And so what he's looking for is faithfulness to this. We're debtors to the world. We have the authority of Jesus Christ as he commissioned us to do this work. And so don't be discouraged. Don't think that you're a failure if you don't have a packed house. I mean, be encouraged if you have a packed house tomorrow, but don't be discouraged if you don't. Just be about the business that God has called us to. Be out there, be preaching the gospel to those that don't know. Be baptizing those who come to know the Lord, and be about teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God. I'm thankful to see a table full of literature over there. That's part of the commission. I'm thankful y'all are on Podbean. That's part of the commission, right? Those things are all, put it all together. We're debtors. We're debtors. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You and I being debtors to this, in this sense of our text, we have work to do. God will work in us and through us, but he's not going to do the work for us. Do you realize that everything in the commission, he could have done a different way if he wanted to? He didn't have to use us in any part of it. Just think about the very beginning, to go and to preach the gospel. If he wanted to, he could have painted it on the side of the mountains. He could have given it to the birds to sing the gospel to the people, but he didn't. He commissioned his church to do it. To do it. And out of all of the groups in the world, the Lord's church is the only one that has been commissioned to do it. Amen. And so that means that if there's no other of the Lord's churches within another 50 miles of here, 100 miles from here, then you all are the only ones that's got the commission, the authority to do it, based on the scriptures. Right. Whenever we consider this, we understand some things. When it comes to being debtor to it was Paul who wrote this. And if you go back to Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, there verses 14 and 15. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was a great preacher, no question, a great missionary, no question of it. And I tell you, not everybody's going to be a Paul. In fact, I don't know of anybody lives up to that caliber right now in our world. I know some folks have come really close. But I mean, we're talking about someone that God used in some big and mighty ways. Right. But I can tell you what, he's got some folks out there that he's called out into special ministry, even still to this day. Yeah. Pastoring churches, doing missionary works, going places and those sorts of things. And we read of that, we know of them, they stand and fill the pulpits week after week, year after year. Pray for them. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the other pastors. Pray for the missionaries. I saw several mission reports over there. Read those mission reports. Know what's going on. Support them any way you can. But in Romans chapter 1, I submit to you today that this could be said of any individual who's here today who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And while some of us have been called into special ministry, I'm not discounting that, I also want to point out that it is the duty and the responsibility of every church member to be a part of this work of carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right. I don't know what your pastors, if any other brethren here who pastor churches do, but sometimes every once in a while I get a call from somebody, and they'll say, "Hey, pastor, I really would like you to come and share the gospel with so-and-so." And my question is, I'll be glad to do that, but how much have you shared? Sometimes I get an honest answer. Well, I haven't. I think it'll be better coming from you. That's not scriptural. Don't depend on your pastor to take the gospel everywhere. Be a part of it. And so what I'll do is I'll say, "All right, I'll go, but I want you to come with me." Reread this. And off to the side, if you're in the habit of making notes in the margin, write your name off to the side of it. So where it says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks," I have David Green, debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I, David Green, ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I, David Green, am not ashamed of the gospel. Make this personal. Make it personal for you, because this is personal. This message, which we, the church, has been commissioned to give, is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the missionaries. It's for the entirety of the church. In the book of Acts chapter 8, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about here. I love church history. I can recommend a whole host of good books. John Christian wrote a couple of books. Jones wrote a couple of books. Trail of Blood is a good book. But I tell you, you get your start in church history right here in the book of in the Bible, and really, you, as you begin in the Gospels, and then you begin to get into the book of Acts, you begin to see the history of the early churches. And in the book of Acts, chapter 8, in verse 1, we find some things that are happening there. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Now, you gotta make the connection there, because if you're not careful, you'll miss it. There was a scattering of the church. Everyone was scattered except for the apostles. The preachers stayed in Jerusalem. The people who were scattered, they weren't necessarily the preachers, were they? But they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, later you'll find that some things started happening, and then the church of Jerusalem found out about it. They sent some preachers down, and churches were established by the authority of the church of Jerusalem. There were no spontaneously opened up churches or whatever. There was a chain link succession of churches. The churches of the New Testament always had a mother church, except for the church at Jerusalem, which was started by Jesus Christ himself. But the preaching of the gospel, the carrying forth of the gospel, it did happen sometimes when folks were scattered, and some of those folks were indeed common folk. In the book of Romans chapter 1, no, we don't have persecution in our day yet. I've got a feeling that it's coming. I don't reckon it'll probably be over doctrinal issues. It'll probably be over the morality or lack thereof. That's right. In this country. But just know this, that if there is a scattering over persecutions and things like that, just know that the Bible has much direction of what to do and how things can work if we'll just follow what the scriptures say. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome." Paul had to preach the gospel. You'll talk about the things that you're passionate about, whether it's a ball game or a ball team or some hobby. You'll talk about the things that you're passionate about, and Paul was passionate about the gospel. I believe he also had that call that he had to preach. The necessity was laid upon him. And certainly there is that aspect of it. So we can look at it from two different aspects. One, he was very passionate about the gospel, and I believe that every child of God ought to be passionate about telling others about Christ. I mean, it's exciting stuff. Let's be excited about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the life-changing message of our Lord. We also find that there was the second aspect of this, and that is that Paul had been called to that special ministry. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
Right.
If you've been called to preach, there's no way to not preach. This is the only way I can say it. I mean, if you can stop preaching, if you can stop pastoring, if you can stop being missionary, then by all means stop. But if you're in good health and you're physically able to, then you know what I'm talking about. You can't quit. Just ask Jonah. Jonah, even though he tried to run from the Lord, he had a special calling. A special calling. And God made sure that he was there for that calling. And Paul, as he wrote to these folks there at Rome, he said, so much as in me is, I am ready. He was ready. God inspired all these fellows to write, but you can still see their personality in there. And in this, you see Paul's modesty. Paul could have been the most arrogant of all people if we were to look at it from the human standpoint, but he wasn't that way. And he knew that all this depended upon the will of God. You and I, we may have a desire to go here or go there or go this way or that way. And this is true for any of us. We can't be sure of anything in life. We can't brag about tomorrow. It's only by the will of God. He was ready to go to Rome. He was ready to be there to preach in either camp, barbarian or Greek, the wise or the unwise. But he was ready to preach. He was willing to, ready to do it. He wasn't going there, planning there to go to the capital of the Gentile world simply to take the message to the unconverted. He was ready to go there to also meet with the saints. That's what this letter was to. And in fact, if it's been a while since you've studied the book of Romans, whether you're a new convert or a seasoned saint, I'd recommend you get back into the book of Romans if it's been a while. It's a good book to study.
Amen.
But wherever we are in life, wherever we're at, whether we've been called to the ministry or not, it is good for us to submit our lives to the will of God.
Amen.
To be ready to serve Him in whatever capacity that we have. To be ready and willing to take the Word of God wherever our next steps may be, wherever we find ourselves. And in fact, here's the thing. As Paul wrote this letter, he was ready to go to Rome. Guess what? He made it to Rome, but not by the circumstances that he probably thought he would have. In fact, by the end of the book of Acts, we read that in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He was under house arrest there at the beginning. I've read a couple of things that may indicate that he was under tighter arrest later. But what I'm saying is this. How many would like to be under house arrest for any reason? I know probably not any of us. Certainly not after we've enjoyed such freedom as what we have. And Paul certainly enjoyed some amounts of freedom, did he not? But he made good use of his time. You and I, where we're at, whatever may happen down the road, let us make good use of our time. Wherever we are, whatever it is that we end up, however way we end up. Why? Because we have been given as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean that in the only sense that the Bible means it, and that is in the local church. We have been given this commission to go and to preach the gospel, to be a, we're able to take and be part of it, baptizing them, and then to take it all the way through and teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God's word. And we may find ourselves with limitations at times. Perhaps we end up under house arrest or in prison or whatever. But make no mistake, we serve a God who is sovereign over all things, as our brother said. He makes no mistakes. He's not surprised. He's not trying to get it all sorted out or figured out. He knows what's going on. And he has called us and sent us here to be witnesses and to be faithful. We are debtor both to the barbarians, to the Greeks, to the wise and to the unwise. Paul, In these writings, we have great examples that have been given. See, a lot of people forget that once you get past, I don't know, maybe about 90% is written to Baptist churches or Baptist preachers. These are great instructions for us as God's people. All of it is applicable to us in some way, shape, or form, no matter where we're at. Debtor to all, ready to preach. You may not stand behind this pulpit. You may not go out as a missionary. But the gospel needs to be presented. The truth of God's word needs to be carried. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be presented to folks. And some of those may be to individuals that your pastor and the missionary may not be able to reach. But you can. God knows that. And that's why he has equipped you as well. The world's elite as well as its outcasts. The question is, are you ready? Are you faithful? And are you busy? May God add a blessing to the word. Thank you for your attention this afternoon. May the Lord bless you. Brother Joe.